It's the weekend.
Do we always go into that song? I feel like we've done that before.
Yeah, we do.
People liked the mid-90s R&B I read before.
Yes, yes, that's true. People wish that we would actually do our own show of just, like, you know, 90s covers. I read that recently on Twitter.
It's the weekend, everybody. Selena is on a trip. She's in Lindonia, as some people call it. And we mentioned that earlier in the week, but she's still traveling and doing all of those wonderful things, which we are vastly jealous of. The boys are here to hold it down.
Holding down the fort. And it's
the Dread Fort.
It's not the Dread Fort. It's not the Dread. Otherwise, I'd be going and freeing Theon right now. Theon would be with us. If I did a Theon impression right now, it would just be pathetic.
Please do it.
No, it'd just be like, hey guys, I'm wow. not. It's terrible.
That was a good one.
No, really? Keep going.
Please.
Look, you have to find your
inner Theon,
inner character on the show, because I have Sam. Zach has Lady Olenna.
Yeah.
Selena is given a reprieve because she's on vacation right now. But Eric, you got a little bit of homework here. You're going to have to come up with a character that you can accurately portray on the show.
How quickly.
Can we get some more cheese in here?
How quickly that you guys forget that I was all of the Walders last episode.
That's not even fair, dude.
They're
not even real characters.
They are. There's Red Walder and Black Walder and Bastard Walder. And we did this all last episode.
All right, Walder Balder. Check this out. This will work. Speaking of not fair, Arya does not get to participate in the excellent bathhouse in this chapter that we read. Second chapter.
Yes, but even if Arya was allowed in the bath, she is having a crisis, a conflict, an interior conflict, because these little creatures have been with her since Fleabottom. The ones that are inside her clothing and crawling all over her skin. And it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be right to drown them. Because they've shared the journey with her.
Wow.
Eric represents his own opinions on the matter, everyone. Yeah.
No, it's interesting because I actually wrote that down in my notes as well. Just insight into Arya's character. The fact that she doesn't want to get rid of these creepy crawling, who knows what's that are all over her. She has respect for those sorts of things. And I think that that's what clearly differentiates her from all of the other Stark children.
It's a hard world. They're traveling north.
While everyone's going south.
Yeah, while everyone's going south. They see some graves on the side of the road. You know, I really had a lot of respect for the people in this chapter when they saw the grave with the gemstone on it and no one took it.
Hmm.
Because they were respecting the dead.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
I mean, personally, I think that I might have taken the gemstone if I was in the situation. I don't know. Probably not. But I mean, it's a really hard time. I mean, Prayed, the character named Prayed, which we don't really ever get to know because he succumbed to illness on the road.
Yeah.
They have to bury him.
Yeah. I mean, they pretty much, and I guess where you were going too, is they empty his, you know, possessions and things, but that's not necessarily disrespectful. It's just, he has no further use of them. And frankly, if they didn't take them off him before they buried him, somebody would likely, unbury him and take all that stuff.
Metal detector, years later, they find this old Castle Forge longsword. You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
That's just the way the world works, man. You know, old stuff gets found on the beach with metal detector. Oh, I remember when those were popular.
This is like a road movie, or it's like the continuing saga of Arya on the road. And that thing about the bugs, okay, that was very special considering, you know, we see her morphed into at least a human killer. Killer of other men that are bigger than her. At the end of, you know, season 3, she seems pretty, she has no conflict about that. The guy clearly deserves it. But when it comes to little bugs, even ones that are literally making her body their home, she's questioning. And so that was, again, good insight. Of course, she is a child and she'll think about those things. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when she does have another opportunity to get clean, who knows? But she smells.
I can't believe we're still talking about this.
She smells as bad as urine, though. So that's pretty bad.
Well, so they're at this inn, and I don't believe that it's the inn at the crossroads, but you never know. There are many inns on this road, and I think the one really special thing that stood out to me in this chapter that I thought was just really cool was the innkeeper had family that had been in the Night's Watch. I think it was his brother. Was it his brother?
His brother, yeah.
And his brother was caught stealing salt or stealing pepper off a nobleman's table. and he was sent to the wall to take the black. So the innkeeper was like, you know what, guys, free round of beer. So Lami gets beer. You know, everyone gets beer. Arya even gets beer. They have got some beer. Free beer. Not too bad.
You know what, though? I wonder, like, if this was the case, and I wrote this down specifically because if they had, what is it, Yelp or Foursquare Tips or something, somebody could just leave a tip and say, this guy's brother took the black. Go in there, tell him you're going to the wall, and he will give a round to everybody who's with you. Because they just got free beer. How, like, he had no proof that they were all going to the wall, and they got free beer. So I wonder if you could just go in that inn, and I wonder if it would be known that you could just say you're going to the wall, and he'd get some free beer.
Just taking advantage of the system, Eric.
I'm just saying, that's just what you got to do. Some days after work, it's hard. Plow sharing, whatever that's called. And you need a beer. So tell him you're taking the black, but then you can never go back again.
This chapter was obviously in the show, and some things were moved around. It happened in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of the forest, where soldiers of the City Watch from King's Landing rode up and accosted the people that were heading toward the wall, because obviously they were looking for Gendry, and we yet don't know Gendry's name. He's still the Pole.
Mm-hmm. But as Yoren did in the HBO show, he gives shit to those gold cloaks that show up, and he says, well, you got, what, 5 guys? How many does he have? Something like that. I got about 30, and I like how they all kind of take up whatever weapon is closest to them. Is right. Like Hot Pie takes a
he
rock.
Picks up a, yeah.
And some of the guys aren't wearing any clothing because they were just bathing.
Yeah, there was a guy that was in the shower and he heard shit was going down, so he just stepped out, just manhood, just laying about the wilderness.
Yeah. He was hodoring about.
Yeah, he just hodored out of the shower and stood there. Me being a member of the Gold Cloaks in that situation, I would rethink what we were doing. I'd be like, you know what? It looks like these guys don't have much to lose at the moment.
Yeah, but I still think they're pretty well armored. I mean, the thing is, the queen herself sent them. So I guess I was surprised. It wasn't until, like, the numbers alone, I don't think dissuaded them. I think it was when Yoren actually pulled the move on the guy and would have killed the leader, you know, with the knife to the throat. Obviously, that was when he backed away. But I think they would have had a go at the 30 people, honestly, if it weren't for Yoren's quick-handedness.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think they would have won, though. Yoren was like, hey, I've got 15 more brothers inside getting free beer, so you do the math, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I think it is interesting, too, because this whole time, the confrontation, Arya is telling Gendry, she's telling pretty much anyone who'll listen. She's like, they're after me. They're after me. It's me they want. It's just that, the other thing. And she, you know, they're trying to hide her. Gendry's doing the best he can. Why would they want you? All this other stuff. And she's convinced and even tells Yoren, too, in front of everybody, they're after me. And then he comes up and then, like, touches Gendry and is like, no, they wanted him. Everybody's like,
I was really surprised, though, because in the show, it kind of remained a secret for a while. She's told Gendry, and that's the way it stayed. But here in the chapter, you know, she's hiding with Gendry and telling Gendry, they're after me, they're after me, they're after me. But at one point, when it starts to get a little serious, she literally does step out and just start yelling it to everyone.
Yeah, no, she does. And you just wonder, well, okay, seeing as how she's posing as a boy, like, what is this boy's purported to have done? Like, now she's got to think up a cover story for later. Because they're going to ask her, well, if what they wanted was Gendry, what do you think you did that was so bad? And she's going to have to come up with something.
Well, that's true. It does kind of break down the wall. I think, luckily, in this situation for her, probably just the scariness of the whole situation made everyone forget.
Yeah. Well, and the difference to the show is that this guy, actually, the officer, points at Gendry and specifically says, we want him. Whereas it was left up to interpretation later on. You got at the close of that episode, you got the resolution that you were looking for, right? That it was Gendry that these guys were after, but it was after a little bit of misleading through the storytelling that, you know, they end up killing Lami, right? Sticking that, isn't it Needle, putting Needle through Lami's throat because he happened to have that bull helm right next to him. So
now I'm sad.
Yeah, sorry. That doesn't happen for another couple of chapters. So jumping ahead a little bit there. But what did you guys think of the conversation that went on with the three that were inside of this wooden cage. Jack and
Hagar, scary guys.
We finally get introduced to him. Biter and Rorg. These classy individuals that are on their way to the wall.
I think more than anything, I was just in complete trance of Jacken's coolness to be able to speak like this about them directly in front of them. He was the entire time, he was just like, you know, a man is embarrassed by his friends. You know, a man doesn't choose who he's caged with.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was pretty much Jedi mind tricking the whole time. It was very like slow and well informed the whole time. It's like clearly his education is so much above everybody else's. And he's like, but he's caged like Jaqen, you is clearly the standout guy in that cage because the guy next to him has no nose. The other guy just bites at people. Yeah.
The right, biter with his filed teeth.
You got to wonder, though, what he's able to do to sort of keep them at bay, because he is sort of the civilized of the three, as you pointed out. But yet he's traveling very long distances, and he said, you know, we don't choose our companions in the black cells, right? Beneath.
But he introduced them to Arya, which means at one point they all spoke and gave their names, you know, because he got them from them. And so I was thinking at the same time how unlikely it was that they would talk to each other because they're all kind of a little crazy. At least the other two are, but the other part, they're sharing that cage. And in the end, at some point, some humanity in them kicked in and said, this is my name. So that was very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. The thing that ties all three of them together is that they would like some beer, you know?
Yeah.
The beer's flowing for free inside. Please go inside and get them some. I think I would have, at least for Jaqen.
Yeah. I mean, and then you pretty much would have had to for all three of them because they would have just...
Yeah.
They would have fought to the death or something like that. But and I agree, it's not that difficult of a request. I think, you know, what it was is Arya was trying to keep an even lower profile. She just, you know, she wasn't quite sure, and they can't really let them out of the cage. So maybe they're too dangerous for beer.
Well, yeah, I think that they would probably not be in the best state under the influence of alcohol. They're already a little bit too dangerous. It's like, let's lower their inhibitions and see what Biter gets up to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
With his weeping sores.
Before you know it, Biter will be pulling babies from the arms of their mothers.
This is where we get to hear the famous line from the TV show where she gets close to him with the wooden sword. And he's like, bring that over here. And it's like something about sticking the sword into the bunghole. And it's just like, well, Work's got some, he's got a colorful vocabulary.
Here you go. Come closer and I'll shove that stick up your bunghole and fuck you bloody.
Damn.
Sorry, was that set a little too intense?
That's too intense.
I added some stuff at the end there. That wasn't...
You added it?
Sorry, whoa, it's plagiarism or whatever the hell you want to call it. False advertising. Misquoting. Not sourcing the material properly.
What I tried to allude to there was the story that Arya hears about possibly her direwolf. You know, there's a story of a she-wolf nearby that's terrorizing children. And Arya can't help but wonder if this could be her long lost but not forgotten direwolf.
And this is the whole reason she stepped outside. Essentially, she was having beers with everyone inside the inn, and people started gossiping, and she was able to overhear it. Essentially, the story goes as this: there's a wolf that is dangerous, and that is so smart that all the other wolves are packing with it. So everyone's afraid to go out into the forest. And Arya gets to thinking, wait, hold on a second. This is very near the area where I told Nymeria to take a chill and kind of, you know, leave for a while because you're going to be murdered. And so immediately I got excited because that is exciting. The prospect of that.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to see Nymeria again ever since it's just the saddest parting, I think, ever. You know, she basically has to throw rocks at Nymeria. She does have to throw rocks. And it's said in this chapter, a little bit more detail, only after the first few rocks landed did it really scare Nymeria or get Nymeria to go. You know, it's pretty much like saying, I don't want you anymore. Clearly it's for her, the direwolf's own good. Maybe some people think the direwolf understood that, but when and where is the right time to come back? Really? You know, and Arya feels as would anybody that you know, having a wolf is such an advantage. She'd be protected instantly. But she doesn't have that protection, and we don't know where Nymeria is. So
well, they could hook up again now, though. I mean, the queen isn't around. She's not going to do anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, though, but where is the direwolf? You know, if the Starks, have this, you know, 1-800 number for their pets, you know, do you think that she'd have used it by now to really ask for her direwolf back? Because it's about to, but then again, that would give away her identity completely.
Well, I did want to correct myself. It's actually Hellbitch, not.
Oh.
That's just, you know, minor.
Little things.
No, I liked Arya's reaction, though, when they started talking ill of the direwolves, you know, saying that they would ravage these towns, that they would kill these babies and do all these terrible things. And, you know, you forget that despite how mature she is, you know, the things that we've seen her go through and just her character, I think, is mature for her years. But yet, at the end of the day, she's still a kid. And when they're talking badly about something that she really cares about, she's very outspoken and she forgets herself and she forgets where she is and who she's supposed to be. And she just starts like going off before Yoren tells her, get the hell out of here. Go outside.
Boy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was smart not to draw a lot of attention to her. And it was good that she left. If she, you know, I mean, I feel bad because it's a fool's hope, I believe, to assume that this is Nymeria. But I'd like to think that only a dire wolf could lead all of these wolves into such a straight line and plan attacks and to survive so well out in the wilderness. And I think that if this is Nymeria, it's a mirror so much of what Arya ends up doing in the book, and that's leading a pack of people trying to survive, heading toward a goal and hanging out in the wilderness together. That's, I mean, essentially the same thing Arya begins to do in this series. And if Nymeria is like her, like we know the dire wolves are, I mean, it makes complete sense.
The other piece of information that we got during that little back and forth inside the inn was that Rob is on the move. So Arya doesn't know anything about what's happening back at Winterfell, what's up with her brother, what's up with Catelyn. You know, this is kind of the first real sense of hope that I think she's gotten in a long time, right? Because all she knows is what's happened at King's Landing, and she knows that her father is dead and her sister is captive by the queen, but she doesn't know what's up with the rest of her family. So it was kind of a nice tie there for her to see that for the first time in a while.
She is supposed to be deposited at Winterfell. That's the plan on the way to the wall.
Make an Arya deposit at Winterfell.
Yeah. No, Yoren's going to, you know, drop her off, but I don't remember why that doesn't happen. It could be because the Gold Cloaks come back, but I'm just trying to remember correctly.
I'm seeing a trend here in these chapters for the younger kids, and that's all of these adult themes coming into the story from characters surrounding them, and we're kind of overhearing it and able to draw our own conclusions. And it's really interesting because it's almost like we know more than the character and these points of view. Like, we're assuming more. When we hear about Rob moving, we understand a lot more of the implications of that than Arya does. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And remember that Rob is a character in the series that is not ever a point of view character. We only learn about his movements and what's going on with him through other people. And in this book in particular, you really don't get to experience him very much. So, you know, I'm interested to see like how you guys respond to that dynamic, because obviously Rob was very much present in season 2 of Game of Thrones. So on HBO. So now you get to see how, you know, book readers dealt with his character throughout the course of the series for as long as he's around.
Yeah. I mean, I can honestly say, though, that the fly on the wall kind of talking about Rob is pretty exciting, because they keep referring to him as King in the North. And because he's only referred to as that, it makes it seem like there's this sense that they're taking it really seriously, which is important. But in the TV show, there's that one scene in season 1, and, you know, we're shown immediately all the people that are with him. But the fact that these random people in this inn are talking about the King in the North as if he is a king. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say here? Like, it is going to be like Westeros is going towards a split, a north-south split here. And it just, because it gets destroyed so quickly in the show, or is not dealt with, or things like that, you can never see kind of the seeds of it being formed in a way. And I like that, because we're in this state where these people really expect Westeros to be split in half.
Yar.
Yeah, no, it's really cool to see. And I'm enjoying these chapters a lot. And I think that, you know, Arya moving forward, we understand from watching the show what happens to her, but you guys have written in and have said, I'm going to be interested to see how you react to a lot of these differences between the book and the show. And, you know, it still amazes me how even so early on, there are all of these pivots that are so different, but at the end of the day, resound the same theme throughout, you know?
Yeah, I think back to the first episode that we did for this book, and, you know, I remember Eric saying, we get Selyse, we get Shireen, which is a huge difference. You know, the fact that, you know, Shay, is not physically brought to be with Tyrion within, you know, the actual, I want to call it a castle, but I know that's not right. But, you know, she's in King's Landing, but she's at a whorehouse, right? And there's these stark contrasts, no pun intended, but... You know, we see the Freys actually go to Winterfell and, you know, become wards there. So it's really kind of getting the full thrust of the story. That's the one and only downside to the TV show, because there really aren't any others, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so much fun to go through these books and, you know, to discuss it amongst friends, because... At least that's what I think we are, right? I mean, we're friends.
Last time I checked. Just keep thinking that. Like, I won't say anything if you don't say anything. No, but really, you know who's not going to be friends anytime soon is Gendry and the Queen. Because he is marked. She knew somehow. She knows.
I thought you were talking about Renly.
No, Gendry. She knows somehow that he is Robert's bastard son. However, Ned found out, she found out probably the same way. And you know, she sent these guys to seriously take him down, bring him back to her. And I don't think that's something she's going to easily forget.
But you know what,
frankly,
this is what I have to say is Cersei has shown a very strong tendency now to completely and utterly disobey the law of Westeros. She ripped up the note from King Robert and couldn't give two shits about it.
Yeah.
Now she's going after Gendry, who, as Jorn points out, is under the protection of, you know, the Night's Watch. Going to take the Black. Right, exactly. So, you know, it shows her character developing into this individual who really has absolutely no disregard, or absolutely no regard, I should say, for any sort of law or enforcing of those laws. And that's dangerous for not only for her, but for her family, because her family is becoming known as this group of individuals who don't,
to whom the rules do not apply.
Right. And why should anybody follow them?
It's a lot like the Mad King, you know, the heads on spikes in King's Landing and just the general discourse of the people. How do you go about your day on a normal schedule when you've got a bunch of beheaded people over your house, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's weird. The dynasty that they're building right now is one of deceit, and the kingdom is split.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And I just thought, dun, like, dun. Again, we talked about this at the end of Tyrion's chapter about how much of a mess he has to clean up. But really, like, we know from the TV series, it takes him the whole, you know, season, at least all the way through Blackwater, for him to be able to kind of keep a little bit of a hold on it, to keep Joffrey in check, etc. But even Tywin still has to do that when he arrives.
Yep,
it's true. I'm looking forward to our chapters next week.
Yeah, me too. Let's see what we got.
You got Jon.
That old fool, Jon.
Jon.
What? We got Jon Snow.
We have Catelyn.
Okay.
Jon, Catelyn.
I'm turning the pages. Hold on. None of this computer shit that you guys use.
Oh, yeah.
And Tyrion. So Tyrion makes a return appearance.
Look at that.
Lot to look forward to next week, people. Lots.
Indeed. So just wanted to let you guys know in advance to send us your owns for those three chapters, Jon, Catelyn, and Tyrion. We will use them We will possibly abuse them.
Yes.
And I can't think of a third word that rhymes appropriately.
But reuse.
We will. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Why not? We will reuse them. On.
We won't.
On all of our episodes slated for next week. So we look forward to those. And speaking of owns,
good one.
How about we give ours for this chapter?
Well, it's an easy one for me. I'm gonna have to give my own to Arya for smacking Biter. You know, attacking someone who can't attack her. I felt like he was almost going to break free from his manacles, and I'm glad he did not, because that's a guy you don't want on your bad side. So, Arya, you stay classy.
I'm giving mine to Draken Hagar, not because he's suave, although partly, but just because he asks Arya, "You are called Arya, are you not?" And so he's been totally eavesdropping this whole time, getting to know the other boys who are on the way to the wall. And he's, you know, for the purposes of strategic manipulation and maneuvering, so that he can relate, so that he can call them over and pique their interest and maybe find a way out of that cage. He's doing what it takes to free himself.
I will go into obscurity here. Oh, I will be that person this episode.
To the bath for cleaning their nude bodies.
No. I am giving it to the sallow man in a travel-stained green cloak. And I stress remembering green cloak for later on in the book, maybe later on in the series, when he says, "It's been a bad year for wolves."
Green cloak, sallow man.
Thanks, Micah.
I'm going to be looking for colors, just so I don't forget.
If you're reading along with this, people, join us in searching for the cloak that is green.
Cloak.
Do you hear that, Micah?
What is it?
That's the sound of Eric packing up his bags and flying to Portland mid-recording.
That guy's got some freaking nerve.
Some nerve just leaving the show mid-recording.
But you know what? It means that there's more airtime for all of us. I was going to say me, but then I realized with Eric not being here and not talking so damn much, it's more airtime for all of us.
You know, Sam, now you have an opportunity to speak freely without being interrupted.
It is true.
Well, while you're here, we do have a few owns sent to us here in the twilight of this week leading into next. Would you help me? Could you help me do this?
Absolutely. Timothy Mulligan writes in and says, "My own for the Arya chapter goes to Cyrio Forel for being the Obi-Wan Kenobi of Westeros. Fear cuts deeper than swords."
Yeah, own goes to Ben Kenobi. That was a good job, Sam. It's almost like you have a Twitter app where you are.
Well, we have some things up at the wall. I can't talk about them, though.
Not yet. They're a spoilery.
Yeah, a little bit, but, you know, we're improving. We just got AOL 4.0.
The little disc came in, the Raven carried a little disc in.
Yeah, the Raven carried a little CD.
All right, well, since we're on the topic of talking about own sent in to us, I do have an email here from a Mr. Dylan Manwoody, a returning owner this week on the show, and he says, "I give my own to the guy on the King's Road who has to push a wheelbarrow with an anvil in it." That sounds like a bad time, to say the least. I didn't see that one coming, to be honest. Dylan Manwoody strikes again.
That was a little obscure. We like obscurity on this show.
We do. We respect obscure owns on this show. Now, with Eric being gone, Micah, Sam, and myself are left with the task of telling you guys where exactly and how exactly to send us these owns. The easiest way, I'm assuming, depending on what sort of connection you have, you can head all over to twitter.com/gameofowns. And that is our Twitter account. You can follow us and send your owns and tweets and kind words there.
And don't forget, we also have Facebook. And I patrol the Facebook wall every night from 12 to 3 a.m. That's my shift. So if you want to talk to me, I get very bored up there. It's very cold and there's not much to do. But if you want to come and talk to me, you have to go to facebook.com/gameofowns.
It's true. That's where our Facebook account resides. And if you'd like us, that would be swell. If social networking isn't your thing, which I wouldn't blame you, you could always just email us, contact@gameofowns.com. That's our email address. I'm really not used to doing these communication plugs, so you guys will have to bear with me. But that is where you can email, send your ravens and owns and thoughts.
And don't forget, you can, of course, head on over to iTunes to leave us a nice rate and review. Like our good friend Lady Rialta. That
good
sounds kind of sexy.
Whole thing in your voice.
5 stars. It's great. This Game of Thrones podcast is the best.
I'm talking maybe even the best.
Oh, man.
They have great discussion of the show when it airs on HBO, and fabulous chapter-by-chapter analysis of the books in the on season. You can tell this review is recent because she says on season.
I caught that.
Yeah, me too. The four regular hosts are possibly my favorite people ever. They make you feel like you are having a conversation with friends instead of listening to strangers talk about a television show. And as an added bonus, they all sound incredibly attractive. Game of Owns is the ultimate own to podcasting itself.
High praise from Lady Rialta.
Rialta.
You think she's channeling her inner Tony the Tiger on the subject of that review?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I had some Frosted Flakes the other day, actually.
Mm, delicious.
And this next review comes from A Bear. And it says, Best Game of Thrones Podcast by Far. That's the title. I started looking for Game of Thrones podcast during the bye week that the show took in season 3. I needed my fix and had week without an episode. I think she means a week without an episode.
It could be a guy.
And I'm assuming she's female. But anyway, Goo is by far the best of those. They're great about not doing spoilers for those that haven't read the books. They're funny and clever. Best of all, they don't disappear during the off season. Right, you see, Sam shows up.
He's here, everybody.
Game of Owns Pawns.
They call it Pones. They left the vowel
Pones.
Out.
Pones. Like ponies.
Yeah, ponies, exactly. That's what they call us, the Game of Ownsy Ponies.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Sound quality is awesome, too. Which is always important.
We think things like that are important. We like to pay attention to the details here on the show. You see, even when Eric's gone and flying across the country to go to LeakyCon and to meet a lot of you guys in person, which sadly Micah, Selena, and I can't make,
we still
have to push forward with the show. It's true.
Because we care. Game of Owns cares. That's
we
our
do
new
care.
Community service.
It's our new community service project, Game of Owns Cares. What we'll do for you is bring you 3 episodes a week free of charge. How does that sound, Sam?
Sounds great to me.
Well, thanks for joining us, Sam. It's always nice to have you in the show. Could you shut the door on your way out of the studio, please?
I'll try.
Okay, good. Well, the door's just right there. Try not to drop anything on your way out. You know how that disappoints
you don't
Eric.
You look at my ass?
It disappoints Eric.
You know, Eric loves when I drop things. Well, next chapter is a very favorite one of mine because it's about my good friend John.
Oh, how convenient, Sam.
So I look forward to that episode, and who knows, maybe you'll see me. We're going beyond the wall.
Well, there you heard it, folks. Straight from the mouth of Samwise himself. Next week, we go beyond the wall. This is Game of Owns. My name is Zach Louie.
And I'm Sam.
Hey, Sam. I'm here, and I guess just in time to say, and I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.